War never changes. The Romans waged war to gather slaves and wealth. Spain built an empire from its lust for gold and territory. Hitler shaped a battered Germany into an economic superpower. But war never changes.
In 2077, the storm of World War had come again. In two brief hours, most of the planet was reduced to cinders. But it was not, as some had predicted, the end of the world. Instead, the apocalypse was simply the prologue to another bloody chapter of human history. Because war?
War never changes.
Pew pew! You're no match for me!
Blast you, Vault Dweller! Just wait until my mutant army arrives!
Roar!
Ah, there they are now! Those mutants won't stop me! Pew, pew, pew!
What do you youngins think you're doing?
I'm the legendary Vault Dweller, and I'm about to rid us of the Master and his mutants forever! Pew!
Hey, no fair! I wasn't ready!
Is that so? Not how I remember it happening.
My brother said super mutants were the size of mountains.
Yeah, right. Nothing is that tall.
Yeah, that's what he said.
How would he know? He wasn't there.
Well, I was.
Elder, tell us the story! The one where you saved the wasteland.
If I do, will you let me have some peace and quiet after?
We promise!
Fine, fine. All right. The one where I saved the wasteland. It was years ago, before Arroyo, before your parents were even born. Your ancestors, the Vault Dwellers, lived far beneath the surface of the Earth, in the Vault, Vault 13. It was 2161. Or so the Vault computers claimed. 84 years since the world ended in nuclear fire. They say the Great War lasted a mere 2 hours, ending a conflict between countries that had gone on for a decade. The struggle for resources like petroleum and uranium had dissolved them into bickering nation-states, bent on controlling the last remaining stockpiles on Earth. The vaults gave the world a second chance at life, sheltering the select chosen few from the fallout. It was Vault-Tec who constructed the vaults, and Vault-Tec who decided who would live within them. My ancestors were among those escorted to Vault 13, and it was there I was born and raised. Every day as monotonous as the one before. Until that fateful day of my 21st year. Jacorin stood in the center of the overseer's office listening. The sound of footsteps growing closer and louder out in the hall warned him that the time had finally arrived. Taking in a deep breath, he settled himself. The overseer of Vault 13 ceased his fidgeting just as the door opened with a hiss and a clank. Plastering on a smile, albeit a weak one, he gestured for his guests to enter.
Ah, good. You're here.
His guests stepped further into the office when invited, moving to stand in front of their overseer. There were three of them, the two boys and the girl, representing the youth of the vault. Each of them stood before him for a reason. They were strong, intelligent, young, perfect candidates for the task at hand.
Well, might as well get right down to it. I'm sure you're wondering why I've asked you to come here today.
There were a few nods. Curious glances passed between them.
There is a task of utmost importance for which I am seeking a candidate to accomplish. The three of you were selected as the cream of the crop, so to speak, as I believe you'd be up to the task. But only one of you needs to go.
There was a pause, and finally, Natalia echoed.
Go?
Natalia Dubrovsky was the eldest of the three, at 33. Her grandfather had been a Russian diplomat in Los Angeles prior to the Great War, and had been met with suspicion from his new peers upon arrival to the vault. But as they came to quickly realize, none of that mattered anymore. There were no more countries, states, sides. It was just the inhabitants of Vault 13, and they would have to work together to thrive. Diplomat Dubrovsky had eventually settled down and had a son, who would come to later father Natalia. She was a resourceful young woman, albeit with a penchant for having sticky fingers, though this habit had dwindled in her earlier teenage years. Now she was a hard-working member of their society, dedicating her time to the vault's medical ward.
What do you mean, go? Go where?
The other two looked just as curious at the overseer's words. Max Stone, a giant of a man with a brain just as small, was fidgeting as he glanced from Natalia to Jacorin, grateful that she seemed just as clueless as he felt. The strongest man in the vault, Stone, as his friends referred to him, worked in maintenance. His tasks were admittedly more on the simple side, if only because the Miss Nanny bot had dropped him on his head at birth. But his ability to heavy lift more than made up for it.
Well, yes, I need someone to leave the vault.
No one moved as the words settled over them, echoing through their heads. Someone was to leave the vault. Nobody left the vault. It had been drilled in their heads since birth that the world outside was desolate, violent, and unsurvivable. Certainly, there were those who were curious, who fancied the idea of seeing the world beyond the safety of their walls, but to actually go? It was unheard of. It was Albert Cole, who was one of those curious people, finding the manufactured lifestyle of Vault 13 a bit too repetitive for his tastes. It was the same thing every day. Wake up, eat, work. Free time, eat, sleep, and repeat. Surely, he thought, that couldn't be all there was to life. Passionate on the subject as he was, his charismatic views had spread to several of the other vault youth, who realized they were just as weary of the monotony. The small group would often meet during their evening free time to sit and ponder over the outside world, and whether they would ever get to see it. And now, here was a chance. He knew that Natalia shared the desire to explore beyond the vault, though she refused to sit in with the other youths in their secret meetings, believing that in her older age she ought to be more responsible and loyal to the overseer's wishes. Looking at her now, Albert saw that she was hiding her desire well. Her expression was blank, as neutral as could be.
I realize it's quite a surprise. I wish there was another way, I do. But believe me when I say it's absolutely necessary for the continued success of the vault.
Before anyone could open their mouth to begin the flood of questions, Jacorin continued.
We'll make it fair. I've already got it figured out. See these straws? One's shorter than the rest. You'll pull straws, and whoever gets the shortest will be the one to go.
Go where, though? What exactly are we doing?
Albert knew he had to get that straw. The chance to get out. To taste freedom. He couldn't let that slip between his fingers, but it was admittedly a little concerning. The way the Overseer seemed to dance around the actual point of it all. Why was someone venturing into the unknown? What was so necessary that Jacorin, of all people, was suggesting this? After all, the Overseer was the one who was so adamant they not leave in the first place.
Best to keep it hush-hush. Wouldn't want to send the vault into a panic. Whoever is chosen will know. And hopefully the other two will never have to. Now, might as well get to it.
He held up his hand, the three straws clenched in his grip. His gaze traveled over the three, studying their faces before he gave a nod of affirmation. Whether it was to assure himself or the candidates was anyone's guess.
Natalia, ladies first.
Stepping forward, Natalia looked up at the Overseer, lifting her hand towards him before hesitating. It took a nod of encouragement to get her moving again, and as she dropped her gaze to his hand, she reached out with her own, closing her fingers around the straw closest to herself. She slowly drew it free, giving it a once-over. There was no way of knowing if this was the life-changing straw just yet. Natalia glanced back at Jacorin before stepping back to allow the others their turn.
All right, lads.
Max seemed to have already been eyeing the straw he wished to choose, for he stepped forward at once, pinched it between his fingers. He waited until Albert stepped up before pulling it free, stepping back to give him space.
Oh, well, makes the decision easy for me, doesn't it?
No one responded to his attempt at humor. Shuffling his feet awkwardly at the tension in the room, Albert reached out and took the final straw.
Now let's see who our lucky winner is.
Three hands stretched out, the straws balanced on their own palms. Long, long, short. For a moment there was silence. Four pairs of eyes focused on that one straw. Then, finally, the Overseer spoke.
Well then, I guess that's that.
Albert Cole stared at the shortest of the straws in his hand. His eyes widened in disbelief. A million thoughts ran through his head, though he found he could only focus on one. He was leaving the vault. Finally, after years of talking about it in hushed whispers, it was actually happening. It was thrilling and terrifying all at once.
Natalia, Max, thank you for coming. I trust you will keep what you've seen and heard to yourselves.
With their gazes still locked on Albert, the two others slowly nodded. Silent, they turned to go, each glancing back upon reaching the door before finally disappearing through it. Jacorin waited until it slid shut before returning his attention to the youth standing before him. It was time to cut to the chase.
We've got a problem. A big one. The controller chip for our water purification system has given up the ghost. Can't make a new one, and the process is too complicated for a workaround system. Simply put, we're running out of drinking water. No water, no vault.
Still trying to process everything that was happening, Albert stared blankly at the Overseer. He himself worked in the supply room as an assistant, keeping stock of the vault's goods. He couldn't remember ever seeing anything that might resemble a water chip among the stock. Had he been overlooking them this whole time? Or had they never been stored there to begin with? There was no chance to inquire, as Jacorin had already moved on.
This is crucial to our survival. Frankly, I think you're the only hope we have. You need to go find us another controller chip. We estimate we have 4 to 5 months before the vault runs out of water.
It wasn't much time, Jacorin mused to himself. Was it even possible? The thought had been nagging at him ever since the head of maintenance had come to him with the news.
We need that chip, Albert.
Gesturing towards the device clasped around the Vault Dweller's forearm, he waited until Albert lifted it towards him before proceeding.
I'm marking your Pip-Boy with the location of another vault. Not a bad place to start, I think. If we're lucky, they'll have a spare or two they might be willing to part with.
Albert's head was reeling. Another vault? He'd never really considered such a possibility. Just how many vaults were there? How many people lived safe beneath the surface just as they did? And why had they never sought out contact with them before? Shaking his head slowly, he finally found his voice.
Another? Overseer, how many vaults are there?
Now, listen, that's not important just now. This is serious, Albert. You have to go to Vault 15. You have to ask them for that water chip. If we don't get one soon...
He slowed to a stop. There was no need to continue. They both knew. Failure meant the end of Vault 13 and everyone in it.
All right, then. Go and take a few minutes to breathe. Get yourself ready. You leave at first light. And Albert, don't tell a soul.
And now, a word from our friends.
Once upon a time, 27 years after the bombs fell, there were two people, a vault dweller and a California girl. They met and sparks flew. That's when things got interesting. Once Upon a Wasteland is their story. Follow Elizabeth Kirby and Odessa Valdez as they pursue their happily ever after in the post-apocalyptic Appalachian wasteland of Fallout 76. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and many other podcasting platforms. Once Upon a Wasteland, a Fallout 76 love story. Available now.
And now, back to the show.
They met at the door to the airlock early the next morning. All of the other vault residents still slept in their beds, unaware of the historic moment taking place at the great door they'd never before seen open. Jacorin stood at a terminal, entering prompts and passwords that bypassed the vault's security. This was it, he thought to himself. If Albert was unsuccessful in reaching Vault 15 and returning with the water chip in hand, it would all be over. Still, he tried to appear hopeful as he turned back to the youth, offering the best smile he could manage.
All right, now, I have a few things for you. First, medical supplies.
Reaching for the white tin box he'd set on the desk beside him upon arrival, he now offered it out to Albert.
Just the basics, bandages, gauze, antiseptic and the like, and 6 stim packs, though hopefully you'll never have to use one.
He waited until Albert had tucked the box into his rucksack before continuing.
Now let's see, a couple flares, a pick set. Though it has more than just locksmithing tools in there, and you never know when you might need them.
All of these were added to the bag. Finally, Jacorin reached for the last item on the table.
And now, to properly arm you, this. This is a Colt 6520 10mm auto-loading pistol.
Albert slowly took the gun offered to him, turning it over in his hands. It was a compact little thing, but it seemed well-made. Still, it felt strange to be holding it, further grounding him into the reality of his situation. The world outside the vault could be a dangerous one, and he might have to defend himself from it.
Vault security carries them, though they've never had a reason to fire one. Fine weapon, not hard to understand either. Safety, point, shoot. Ah, and don't forget the ammo. It's all we can spare, but hopefully it's more than enough. Now, you fill your canteen?
Albert nodded. Yes, he had. Though he'd almost felt guilty for doing so. Water was so precious now, after all.
Good. Well, that's everything, I think. You ready?
Yes. Yes, I'm ready.
Good lad.
He clasped Albert's shoulder, looking him over before giving him a smile. It faded fast as the severity of the situation again took hold of them.
Look, just be safe. Okay?
Turning away, Jacorin hit one final button on the terminal keyboard. The heavy metal door beside them slowly creaked open, revealing a short hallway bathed in soft green light coming from the terminal mounted on the wall. This was it. No vault dweller had ever stepped past this point. Allowing himself a brief moment of wonder, Albert stared into the darkness. He only glanced back again at the soft cough coming from behind him, calling for his attention. Slowly, Jacorin gave a nod. It was time.
I'll be back.
Hoping he sounded more confident than he felt in the moment, Albert took in a breath before straightening his shoulders. Moving forward, he entered the airlock, listening as the metal door closed again behind him with a creak of finality. For a moment, there was silence. Then a loud ringing accompanied by wailing sirens. Klaxon lights illuminated the room in red. Something somewhere was hissing steam. The whole spectacle seemed to scream, "This is a momentous event. Take notice!" And Albert was well aware. After all, it wasn't every day the vault door was opened. Said vault door was where the hissing was coming from, he realized. As the thing slowly withdrew outwards, it rolled off to the side, out of sight with the aid of a mechanical arm, revealing a glimpse of the outside world for the first time. Mystified, Albert took his first step forward into the unknown, heart racing within his chest. He crossed the threshold, stepping down into a gritty surface. The only source of light came from the flashing red klaxons behind him, but it was enough to allow him to survey his surroundings. The cave went on straight forward into the darkness, though he noticed it seemed to branch off in another direction to his right as well. Taking another step forward, Albert heard a click as his foot came into contact with something. To his surprise, it was a femur.
The heck?
Taking another, more cautious look around, his gaze came to rest upon the source of the bone. There, by the vault door, was a skeleton, or what was left of it. Something had undoubtedly fed off it, scattering the bones, but enough was left that Albert could tell it had been human. It was the blue fabric it wore that caught his attention, however, for he recognized it immediately. That was the remains of a vault suit, just like the one he wore now. That corpse was the remains of a vault dweller. But how? No one had ever left their vault before. The suit's yellow identification number was gone, torn off by some beast, so there was no way of confirming where they'd come from.
Maybe another vault, like 15. Maybe they tried to come for help.
There was no way to be sure. If this was a resident of Vault 15, he wondered what the state of their vault was. Would they even be able to help with the water chip situation? Did they have their own massive problem they were trying to deal with? There was no way of knowing. The only way to find out was to make the journey. Still, maybe he ought to tell Jacorin of this before he left. The vault door made the decision for him, hissing steam once more as it slowly jerked into motion. It slid back into place with a loud clank that echoed through the cavern, leaving Albert in darkness. It might have been a timer, he reasoned as he squinted into the dark. In any case, it had narrowed his options down to one. It was time to begin his journey. The last thing he did in preparation was to stoop beside the skeleton, reaching for the knife that had caught his eye before the door had closed. It would be a useful tool to have, he reasoned, carefully sheathing it on his belt. Rising again, Albert assessed the options before him, choosing to forego the tunnel closest to him in order to continue straight on ahead. He was getting used to the darkness, at least. He could now make out the shapes in front of him. He figured there was no need to waste a flare when they might be more useful elsewhere.
Is the whole world this dark?
They had learned about weather and the sun in school in the vault, but he wondered if those things existed in the world after the Great War. Pressing on, he tried to recall more of the old lessons about the outside world. He had gathered that this was a cave at the bare minimum. He figured he would see light, if such a thing still existed, when the cave's entrance was near. He just had to keep walking until then. Something skittered in the darkness. Freezing, Albert strained to see around him. There was something else in this cave with him, he realized in horror. Something he could not see. No, there! He saw it, the movement by that pile of rocks. His hand dropped to the gun holstered on his belt. Was this thing dangerous? Or just as scared of him as he was of it? He remembered the disturbed bones back at the vault door, grimacing. Something, likely this thing, had done that. It was best to be safe rather than sorry. Releasing the safety, Albert drew the weapon up, aiming it towards the movement he'd seen. It lunged. Two shots rang out, briefly illuminating the surrounding area. The creature was the size of a vault cat, rounded ears, long, thin tail. The first shot missed as the gun jolted in his hands, but the second hit its mark, admittedly by sheer accident, penetrating the flank of the beast. It fell to the ground with a thud. Angry shrieks echoed off the walls. The noise made Albert uncomfortable. What if there were others in here? What if it was calling to them? Slowly he made his way towards the wriggling mass of fur, gun at the ready. As he approached, he could better see the thing, and realization struck him as he recognized the creature. He'd seen a rat before, occasionally catching the small rodents in the supply room as he did his daily duties. But this thing, he'd never seen a rat of this size.
Ooh, would hate to find one of you in my box of sugar bombs.
The rat hissed and chattered, writhing on the ground. Albert could see the blood pooling beneath it. He wasn't sure if it was a fatal wound, but he figured it was best to be certain. Deciding not to waste precious ammo, he pulled out the knife, holding it ready. What was the best way to do this? He'd never had to kill anything with his own two hands before. Striking the back might work, though the rat might catch his hand as he reached over for it. No, the rat's focus needed to be elsewhere. An idea came to him. He quickly glanced down around his feet, watching the rat out of the corner of his eye for any lunging movement. He just needed... there. Perfect. It was a small rock, but big enough to make some noise. Steeling himself, Albert kicked the rock past the rat. The movement and accompanying clattering caught the rat's attention, its head snapping to follow along. Albert struck, grabbing the beast by the scruff, forcing its face into the ground to keep the teeth away. And then he struck, again and again and again. The rat's squeals finally went silent. Breathing hard, Albert fell back away from the corpse to sit staring in horror at what he had done. He had never killed anything before, yet there it was, and the blood was quite literally on his hands. But he'd had to do it, he reasoned with himself. The creature would have torn him apart otherwise.
Damn.
Still reeling over the events that had occurred, Albert forced himself to his feet, wiping his hands and the knife on his vault suit pants before returning the weapon to its sheath.
Okay. Alrighty then. Not the ideal start to this adventure, but it's gotta be smooth sailing from here.
Chattering answered him. Yellow eyes seemed to glow in the darkness. First one pair, then another, and another still. The rats' reinforcements had arrived, slinking out of their hiding places to face this new intruder in their home.
Of course.
He decided he would rather take his chances running. Taking off, Albert darted past the closest rat before it could even react, making his way down the corridor. When presented with the option to turn left or right, he made for the right, desperately hoping it would lead him to the exit. Had this been a mistake? He was barely 15 minutes out of the vault and already fighting for his life. Why had he ever wanted to come out here in the first place? For years, he had dreamed of this moment, and now he found it to be a nightmare. A rat dove at his ankle, narrowly missing. Looking back, Albert saw they were still following, close behind, teeth bared and eyes gleaming. His hand dropped to the 10mm at his side. Maybe he would have no choice but to stand his ground and face them. He hated to waste precious ammo, but what good was the surplus if he wasn't alive to use it? He looked forward again, and his heart nearly leapt out of his chest. Light. He could see light. There at the end of the tunnel, there was freedom. So close, but so far away. If he could just reach the exit, maybe he could lose the rats outside. Encouraged, he shot forward with a burst of newfound energy, grateful to see the light growing stronger and closer. Then suddenly, he was out of the darkness, stumbling in the sand as he threw his hand up to shield his eyes from the sun. The sun! He had made it. Before he could celebrate and take in the world around him, however, there was the matter of his pursuers. Turning back to face the cave's entrance, Albert was surprised to see the eyes glowing in the darkness within, staring at him, turned away. They hated the light, he realized suddenly. They were retreating.
Oh, I did it! I did it!
He collapsed into the sand with a laugh, which only grew louder as he took in his surroundings. There he was, outside underneath the actual sky. There were no artificial lights on vault ceilings, just the sun, and the clouds, and the vast, endless blue above. Freedom. And he was the first of them to see it. Sitting with his hands dug into the sand, and the sun beating down upon his face, Albert Cole decided that, for this moment alone, it would all be worth it.
Thank you.
Albert's adventure will continue next time. Thank you for listening to 13. We hope you enjoyed the episode. I'd like to thank the cast, Dr. Mark Hosworth as the narrator, Paul Anderson as Albert Cole, Joshua Nicholson as Jacorin, Kiana Morgan as Child of Arroyo 1 and 2, Casual in a Corset as Child of Arroyo 3, and Pandora Beatrix as Natalia. Musical themes created by Arch Stanton. While waiting for the next episode, find us at FO13 on Twitter for news, updates, and casting calls. Until next time, stay safe out there in the wasteland.